Did you know that way back in 2001, Rabble.ca created one of the first podcast networks in Canada? Since then, Rabble.ca has counted on your donations to keep us surviving and thriving. Rabble.ca gets no government money. We have no corporate parent or primary foundation support. We have a donation page at rabble.ca/donate. And we have you. That's why it's so important that you go to rabble.ca/donate. Rabble.ca makes every dollar in our budget count. Please support us. We're counting on you. Go to rabble.ca/donate. Thanks in advance.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Welcome to Face to Face. This is a show about change and what's next. It's a show that asks questions and peels back the layers of our average everyday experience and goes beyond scratching the surface. We interview people doing incredible things who are making a difference around the globe. Join me as we listen in and get one step closer to understanding that big ideas shared create collaboration, collaboration can inspire community, and communities create social change. I'm David Peck, and this is Face to Face.
So John Bromley and I had a great conversation. I think John is full of energy, full of passion. He is the founder of an organization called CHIMP. CHIMP stands for Charitable Impact. It's kind of a GoFundMe kind of Indiegogo-like mechanism, but I think it's way better, and I know John does too. He calls himself a charitable broker. He refers to CHIMP as being a charitable bank. We talked about cultures of giving. We talked about charitable discovery, and we talked about, you know, Canadians are generous, but only, it seems, when they're actually asked. So CHIMP is not really about crowdfunding, just so you know. It really is a charitable bank, and I'm going to let John tell you more about that. So this is an interview about innovation. It's about entrepreneurship. This isn't just about being charitable and about what we do with our money and what others do with our money as well, but it's about coming alongside people and helping to build capacity, you know. And one last thing, just before we get into the interview, listen up for this whole notion of charitable literacy. It's really interesting, and it's something that I think is incredibly insightful. I think you're going to really enjoy our next podcast with John Bromley. Well, welcome to Face to Face, and today we've got an interview that I've been looking forward to for quite some time. John Bromley, the founder and CEO of CHIMP, is joining us today online from the balmy city of Vancouver today, John?
It's the rainy city of Vancouver today.
It's the rainy city of Vancouver.
We never say that here in Vancouver.
You're breaking my heart.
It's raining today.
You're breaking my heart, John. Thanks for joining us.
Vancouverites are happy because we've had a balmy summer, as you say, and it's been really dry. So those of us who are used to the rain are also today grateful for it.
Yeah, it's good. We're pretty warm here today here in Toronto, so I could use with a little rain, I think. So we're going to talk about a variety of things. We're going to talk about John. What's interesting about today's interview is John and I kind of met. I don't even know how we met. I think it was Brian Weber through the YMCA connected us, I think, now off the top of my head. Another guy who's in the sector as well who thought we should connect on some level. And so I think coming out of that connection, we're going to talk today about giving. We're going to talk maybe about compassion fatigue and donor fatigue. We're going to talk about crowdfunding. But I think a good place, and maybe just about social change as well, but I think a good place, John, for you to start was, you know, you've recently referred to yourself as a charitable banker in a way that's kind of oxymoronic to me, because I don't know a lot of charitable bankers. So can you unpack that for me?
Sure. I think simply a charitable banker is someone who's focused on facilitating charity or facilitating benevolence. So it's not a banker's role to tell you what house to buy. It's not a banker's role to tell you how to manage or how to spend your income. But it is their role to help you manage your income and how to manage your house purchase and other things like that. In order to achieve the goals that you have. So I'm an expert at facilitating charity, and I have a, you know, more than a decade of experience at that. You know, I've moved well over $1 billion of charitable money in Canada. I've been involved in incorporating hundreds of charities, been involved in hundreds and hundreds of projects. I've really enjoyed and found a real niche for the role of facilitating your cause to come to life. And so I end up professionally being very cause neutral, except to the extent that promoting benevolence is itself a cause.
So did you get into this whole charitable giving thing? Let's get into Chimp in a second, but did you get into this whole charitable giving thing because somebody said to you at some point, hey, I got a lot of money here, I'd like to give it somewhere, but I don't really know how or where to go with that?
No, I keep dreaming for that to happen. I'm sure I'm not alone.
Hey, John, it's not going to be me either, just so you know.
Well, you know.
You never know, eh?
Yeah, you never know.
I always said I've always said that I'd make a great rich guy, but it's just...
So, no, that's not how I got into the sector. I got into the sector through a career that started in capital markets and corporate finance and banking. So, you know, I have some credibility, I think, anyways, in the banking world and in the understanding of finance. Actually, without telling a longer story, the way I got into charity is through my dad. My dad is one of the Canada's pioneers of charity law and finance, and a very innovative thought leader. And despite the fact it was never a plan to go work with or for dad, I happenstanced into it through a few projects. And, you know, 10 years later, there's 40 or so people in our office. And when I started, there were six. And so now we just debate over turkey meals at Christmas whether they work for me or they work for him, and neither of us really care, to be honest.
So you've so you're slowly taking over the world. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I'm slowly taking over my dad's practice.
That's right.
And transforming it, actually, because, you know, I'm not a lawyer, despite the fact that I spend a lot of time in and around the law of charity, and I take... you know, keeping my knowledge of that stuff up to date very seriously. I'm not a lawyer, therefore I do not give legal advice. So I don't replace him, but I, you know, I'm not as fluent as I am in charity law and compliance and philosophy and the history, and very opinionated on its future without actually being his son, because, you know, heck, where do you learn how to give, let alone where do you learn about the role that Elizabethan, you know, rule played in Canada's common law of charity today, for example.
So CHIMP stands for Charitable Impact. You guys have moved about $80 million now since inception,
That's right.
You founded it. What is... got a lot of questions to ask you about sort of the genesis of it, but also some of the features of it and so on. But I mean, there's a lot of crowdfunding out there. Is it crowdfunding, CHIMP, or are you trying to take it in a different down a different path?
No, it's not crowdfunding, but CHIMP does have crowdfunding functionality.
Okay.
So I describe CHIMP in loose terms as a emerging socially networked charitable bank. So at its core, CHIMP is about giving people or organizations their own charitable account so that they have one place to practice all their giving from.
Right.
So for those who are listening who know what a private foundation is and who know what a public foundation is and know what a charitable organization is, which are the three main entities that make up registered charities in Canada... you know, CHIMP, or I understand all those things very well. I'm very opinionated on their role in Canada's charitable sector, and I've effectively recreated those three entities into an online platform. and wrapped those up into the brand.
And a very, by the way, I've used this tool for those of you out listening there today or next week or whenever it is you choose to download this podcast, but it's a great tool, and it's, and I'm not just saying this because I got John on the line, it's user-friendly, it's slick, it's really easy. In fact, I think, John, the first time you and I chatted on the phone, which has got to be 6-8 months ago now, while we were talking, I'm pretty sure you sent me a $20 donation, which came to my inbox, which I then clicked on while we were talking, opened an account, and was able to donate it to my cause of my choice.
Right.
It was
right.
Really, and I'm assuming you got the receipt instantly through the email.
Yeah, well, in that context, yeah. I would have got the receipt because I put the original donation into my account, and
right.
Then I chose to use that money, or $20 of that money, to send to you to pass on my, you know, values of giving to you and or to thank you for what I'm sure was an engaging phone call. Now,
right.
Neither of those things
happened. I know that it was deeply engaging, just so you know, John. Yeah, no, that's so what I love about that, though, is the immediacy of it. And I think, you know, one of the questions that's coming in a few minutes from me is, well, why would I use Chimp and not GoFundMe or Indiegogo or something? But what I loved was the immediacy and the fact that you got the receipt immediately, and then I had control of the money to give to, what is it, one of 80,000 charities in Canada?
Right.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Right. Yeah. So Chimp is about you, and it's
right.
about enabling you to give on your own terms.
Nice.
I may have facilitated you to give by sending you $20 for you to pass on, but I'm not saying, hey, this money has to be for
right.
you know, charity A or charity B. Now, the genesis of your question was about crowdfunding. So nothing we've talked about to date has anything to do with crowdfunding. So I don't see crowdfunding in the charity sector as a company making, as an idea that's kind of company making. Now, that's my own opinion, and,
mm-hmm.
and it's totally, totally fine to disagree with that. Or I should say it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think that's not what my strengths need to be used for. I see crowdfunding as a functionality. You know, so can you crowdfund a Chimp? Absolutely. If you want to pool money together with friends to, you know, with your book club, every time you meet, throw money together,
yep.
and, you know, once a quarter, you know, send it out to cause relating to, you know, what's going on in a book you're reading. Or if you want to raise money for a specific charity or more than one charity, you know, go nuts. Please do. And we give you the tools for that. We call them giving groups. We call them campaigns. But Chimp is not a crowdfunding system. It's a system that has crowdfunding features, but it's just a feature in the same way, you know, the ability to send money from my account to your account as a charitable gift or a charitable reward is a functionality, and in the same way that my company can match my donation. The donations I make as an individual if they want to. So I differentiate between functions that facilitate charity to happen from ideas that cause a culture to become more charitable. And it's the second thing that I'm actually focused on, but I need functionality in order to create, you know, better, more fluid, and more cost-effective cultures of charity in Canada.
So, you know, you've got a long history in this sector, banking in your background. You've been kind of around money for a long time. Are Canadians generous? Do we like to give? I mean, is that part of the reason why you set up Chimp, or is it that you wanted Canadians to give even more, but in a more, I don't know, focused, intentional, measurable way? Does that make any sense?
It does. I mean, yes to all of that. I mean, let me say a couple things.
Yep.
Starting with the first point, are Canadians generous? Yes. Okay. Canadians are generous. Do Canadians make giving a part of their, you know, everyday life, their part of their family life? No. Generally speaking, most of us don't. So, what's bridging that gap right now? Well, they're generous, but they don't make giving a part of what they kind of do on a monthly or annual basis. So what's making up the gap right now, and which is a cause of concern for me, is fundraising. No, I'm a fan of fundraising. I'm a fundraiser. I'm a successful fundraiser. I don't have any problems with it. But conceptually, if fundraising is the only reason, in this case, Canadians are giving, I have a really deep-rooted problem with that. There's two reasons. One is, why aren't we just giving on our own terms? Why aren't we giving because it's...
Because it's, like, the right thing to do, for instance.
Because it's the right thing to do, for instance, or because we think it's a worthwhile way to allocate a portion of our income or a portion of our net worth.
So, what? So John, just to be clear, you're saying Canadians are generous when there's an earthquake in Nepal.
Statistically, Canadians only give to charity, generally speaking, when they're asked. In other words, if you are not asked, you do not give.
Interesting. Wow. Okay.
The pockets where there's exceptions to that are relatively fewer and farther between, and historically relate to religious scenarios where there's a theological context, a cultural theological context for people to give, and it's effectively an obligation in the Christian world. That would be.
I grew up in a church that, and I got to tell you, to this day, it still comes up in conversation. They didn't have paid staff. They were so proud, I think small p proud, of the fact that they gave away 90% of the money that came through their door. And they gave it to missionaries, and they gave it to organizations because they had no staff. And they said, 10% admin. And this was before I knew anything about any of that whole admin marketing kind of stuff.
Yeah. And so, arguably, admin and marketing, that's a different thing. But actually, But Canadians are generous when they're asked. And what I'd like to change is I'd like to get rid of that second part and just say Canadians are generous.
Interesting.
Now why? And now it relates to your admin and marketing thing. Generally speaking, there's two problems with a fundraising-based charitable paradigm. And I refer to the charity paradigm that we're in today in North America or globally as a fundraising paradigm. In other words, if fundraising disappeared, charity would be in deep, deep trouble. And why? It's simple. Because if fundraising's not there asking, no one's giving. So the number one reason why we need to sort of decrease the reliance on fundraising is because of the costs involved. Okay. One short point on that. Fundraising right now, in let's just talk about Canada, is having to solve for two things instead of solve for one. And as a result of that, it's the costs associated with fundraising are much higher. So not only is fundraising saying, are you going to give to me? Because fundraising is like the sales and marketing arm of a charity. So are you going to give to me, my charity? You know, we save dogs better than anyone else.
Right.
On top of that question, which is the necessary function of fundraising, fundraising is also having to say, are you going to give money, period? If you haven't given money, you can't give it to me. So when people aren't sort of making giving a part of their everyday living and sort of saying committing, you know, $30 a month, $1 a day to just charity in general, fundraising is kind of having to say, hey, twist your arm to actually sacrifice that money, and once that's happened, please allocate it to me. And when you start breaking that down pragmatically, you're going, holy crud, no wonder, you know, 30, 40 cents on the dollar is being spent on administration and fundraising in Canadian charities.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they're ineffective and they don't want to do it. I mean, there's some truth to that in some charities.
Sure,
but the real reason is because their doors are closed and their programs go away if they don't raise their money.
Right.
So you better go and raise the money, otherwise the programs don't exist. The second problem I have with fundraising is just more of a cultural one and a mindset one. So I believe that every person listening to this podcast, and Chimp believes every person listening to this podcast has something in the world they want changed. I also believe that every person has something to give. Now, whether you're giving your time, your talent, or your treasure isn't what I'm opining into. I'm just saying everyone listening here has something to give to whatever it is they want changed in the world. If fundraising is the only thing causing you to actually trigger and act on your charitable spirit, I got a problem with that because I worry then that to the extent fundraising is a muscle, does it atrophy in us as human beings to the point where we actually don't need it anymore? And kind of like my tonsils, you can just cut it out and I'm no better off.
Right.
I mean, I'm no worse off or better off, right? So what that to me is dangerous. That's dangerous not just for charities, that's dangerous for society.
Is that a comment more about the human condition than it is about anything else? Like, are we, you know, so maybe that's where I was going with the comment when I said earlier about, you know, you're the banker, now you're RBC, I think you work with, you're now this chimp charitable guy, charitable impact guy. Are we stingy? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, so yeah. if I don't get that third party fundraiser knocking on my door who doesn't even work for Plan Canada, asking me to sponsor a child, I'm not going to give to them. Is that a comment on my own
yeah.
level of apathy, or is my upbringing? You know, what is that?
I'm not a behavioral psychologist. You know, I am opinionated on this kind of stuff because I think about it, but I actually think about it on simpler terms. So, banking at its core is about facilitating, you know, the management and administration of money.
Mm-hmm.
So applied to what? Okay, applied to housing, you know, applied to, you know, spend, applied to food, applied to whatever. Okay. So bankers care about financial literacy, or they should.
Right.
Because the more financially literate culture is, A, the you know, the more economically stable it is at some level of theory, you know, all things else being equal,
yep.
maybe things like no war.
Right.
And also, nice for the bankers, the more, you know, sustainable their business is, people need it because financially literate people understand that saving plays a role just like spending plays a role.
Sure.
So as a charitable banker, I worry about charitable literacy, and there's none. There's nowhere in society outside of some increasingly niche type of pockets where people learn about giving. Do you learn how to give in school? No. Are you fundraised at in school? Yes. Do you learn how to give at work? No. Are you fundraised at in the workplace? Yes. Do you learn how to give as a member of a sports team or a craft, you know, something? Generally speaking, no. Are you fundraised at? Yes. So the charitable banker here worries about charitable literacy, worries about very fundamental things like where do people learn how to give and what its benefit is to society. I really don't care, as John Bromley, frankly, but also as Chimp, where you give. I'm not here to advocate, oh, you know, this charity is better than that charity. You know, charitable brokers will emerge to play that role, and will, as will other layers of communication.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
mm-hmm.
just interested in, do you see the value in giving? When you invest into giving, do you see the returns on that generosity? And are you passing those learnings on to your children, onto your neighbors, onto the kids you teach at school? And generally speaking, today, the answer is closer to no than
sure.
it is to yes.
Yeah, I would agree. So how does, I mean, here I am, the guy who's talking about little things and social change and incrementalism and so on and the splash and ripple effect, and I know how hard it is to move some of these organizations that do some of this work. I work a lot with the nonprofit sector, so I'm just trying to think of this idea of change and how do you talk about cultures of giving. How do I guess a better question is, why would I create a culture of giving in my home or in my workplace? You know, there are lots of mechanisms for it, and certainly, inevitably, somebody's going to knock on the president's door and say, hey, would you guys consider giving to the United Way or whatever? But how do you create that, or more importantly, why would you do it in the first place?
Well, I think you do it in the first place because you think or you know, and there's, you know, a lot of evidence out there to suggest that this is true, that people are better off, they're more productive, they're happier when they are giving agents.
Right.
I mean, think about your children. I've got two young boys. You know, it's absolutely imperative. It's non-negotiable that they learn what selfishness selfishness is, and you know when it's applicable,
mm-hmm.
and when
mm-hmm.
it's not. More like the context in which selfishness exists. What is giving, and why is it important,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
how does it make them a better person? I mean, we're not just talking about giving money to charity. We're talking about, you know, a whole spirit of giving.
Yes,
yeah,
a spirit
charity,
of giving.
Right.
Yeah.
So
sure.
To me, you know, the benefits as to why. I mean, if you think about them at its core, I'm not really. I know, I've frankly almost never met anybody who argues against them. People, you know, argue against, oh, well, giving to charity is silly because, you know, charities are so ineffective. Well,
right.
Then, I mean, I love it when people say that because you sort of say, well, which charities? And inevitably they have one or two.
Oh, it makes me crazy
then,
when
like,
people
are
say
there,
that. Yeah.
You know, do you know there's 84,000 other charities?
Right.
And so, but, you know, listen, it's increasingly being articulated now that social change has been taken more seriously.
Yep.
That, I mean, for example, just look at the millennial generation. There's tons of stats out there that sort of say anything from millennials will work for less in a company that gives them meaning all
sure.
the way through to, you know, employees who are, you know, find meaning in their work are much more engaged and productive.
Right. Right.
And those two things, of course, are related. And at the core of them, I think, is the human spirit that just wants to contribute towards generally making things better as opposed to worse.
Yeah, do you think you're an optimist?
Yeah, I'm an optimist.
Yeah, I know. I would say so.
But I'm a cynical optimist.
Yeah, so
I mean, for example, when you talk about where does change, you know, how do you make the change come? I mean, I've had a lot of experience in the sector with technology, without technology, and you know, I'm just maturing to the point where I work around the naysayers rather than trying to convince them of otherwise. So, for example, if charities are too ingrained in a fundraising paradigm where they think they've got to own their donors and
yep.
yada, 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 then, okay, you know, I'm not actually going to sit here and spend my time convincing you otherwise. I'm going to work with that charity who doesn't have that view. Or, forget that, I'm going to go straight to donors and companies and give them tools that make it easier for them to act on their charitable spirit. And, guess what? Charities are going to have to come to the table because there's, you know, money
so,
for
them. So what I'm hearing here and what I'm loving about what I'm hearing, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that there is a much more relational component, a much more human component to what Chimp's trying to do than, say, oop, dare I say it, Indiegogo or GoFundMe or so on. I've had a little bit of experience with those organizations. Never mind, by the way, I'm sure you're itching to talk about the percentages. I'll speak about them. I know that the percentages that Indiegogo and other crowdfunding organizations take are astronomically high in comparison to what Chimp takes. So folks out there, check it out. It's very low and manageable. So that's, and if you want to run with that, go right ahead. But there's a relational edge to what you're trying to do here. You're interested in people giving, but you're also interested in changing the way people giving. So it's not just a fun, because when I look online at Chimp, I go, wow, what a great mechanism. But it's way more than just a mechanism, isn't it, John?
Yeah, so, I mean, I've got nothing bad to say about Indiegogo or GoFundMe. Those places are critically important. They're
yep.
insanely innovative. Do they apply to charity? Yeah, but I think increasingly in the future they're going to have less and less to do with charity unless they decide, you know, purposely to focus on the sector. The reason why they're so important to charity today is because they offer very good tools that work. And charities
right.
have been
right.
you know, known about crowdfunding since before they even knew about crowdfunding, because guess what fundraising is?
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
raising money from a whole bunch of people.
From a whole bunch of
so
people, yeah.
So what's crowdfunding in the context that they talk about it today? Well, it's effectively just a web-based tool for fundraising. So the question becomes, fundraising for what? Well, if you're fundraising for a charitable purpose and a tax receipt is issued, then you're crowdfunding for charity. And if you're, you know, doing something for a non-charitable purpose and where a tax receipt isn't and can't be issued, then you're, you know, fundraising for something else. So
sure, sure.
Indiegogo and those places are critically important and servicing the charitable sector largely because people who want to act on their charitable spirit and do something for charity can't easily go to a charity's website and find any useful tool.
Right.
It's not It's 2015. It's not useful to just simply hit a donate button and have your you know, your Visa card dinged. I mean, it's maybe more cost-effective, or it is more cost-effective than sending a check into the charity that has to be processed, yada, yada. But, you know, the context in which humans give is way more complex than just, you know. So Chimp is about the human spirit, but I don't think it's to say that Indiegogo and GoFundMe aren't about the charitable spirit, or I can't, or about the human spirit, but I can't speak to that. Definitively, though, we are more interested in doing what's required to cause people to stimulate their charitable spirit and act on it for real, do something, than we are about just building functionality to bring crowdfunding to the charitable market before someone else does.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
It's good.
Because, I mean, geez, I mean, you know, give it another 5 years and, like, through Chimp and other things, I mean, it's going to be completely free for every charity in the country to use sophisticated crowdfunding tools to raise money for themselves.
John, how does a banker who really is just interested in making lots of money, sorry for the caricature, but go from that and making lots of other people lots of money, how do you go from that to this?
Well, I think there's a personal story there that actually, you know, isn't what everyone sort of thinks it's going to be, which is, you know, I woke up one morning and just had this epiphany that I
right.
had to save the world. It's not
right.
it's not that. It actually has a lot more to do with, you know, my family background and my dad's, you know, personal, you know, pioneering, personal professional relationship to pioneering the legal and finance world in Canada as it relates to charity. So, but I don't disagree with your character of bankers, and bankers haven't done a particularly good job at sort of
well, you know, I started
protecting themselves from that. But but what I do think is that, despite the fact that that's what bankers appear to be today, that's not the role that banks and bankers have played throughout history. That banks and bankers have figured out how to create margins is as much to do with the ability for pools of capital to come together and create a float of money that, you know, when it sits for 24 hours, let alone a year, you know, there's returns on investment that can be generated, et cetera. And so banks, I think, and bankers, taking the stigma away, are actually just about facilitating, you know, money and assets to be managed appropriately, administered appropriately for the owners of those monies, which are people and or companies, to use them in whatever the way they want to do. And so, you know, Chimp is about taking that exact same mentality and just applying it to charity. So are there assets, you know, and you have money and other forms of assets that you want to allocate towards charity? Well, if yes, here's a very cost-effective account that you can centralize all those into and make the decision tomorrow or the day after that or the day after that as to where you want to give them. So I just see myself and banking in the charity world really being about facilitation, administration, and
right.
management, so that you free up individuals and or companies to think about what they actually want to impact.
You know, I working in the sector and talking to people often, I don't consider myself a fundraiser. I'm sort of labeling myself these days as a social change consultant, coming alongside, building capacity, helping others. Our tagline at So Change is helping you do what you do better. What I do find, though, as I, you know, bump into more people who want to donate money, who want to get behind a cause and so on, one of the first questions out of their mouth is, and this is not a caricature, is, well, how much did they spend on administration? And I think it's the wrong question to ask. It might be an inevitable question that needs to be asked, but I don't think it's the one that should be coming out of their mouths first. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that. I mean, your company, your organization is called Charitable Impact. You're interested in making a difference long term. And, you know, government donors will come and they'll evaluate 1 and 3 and maybe even 5 years after they've, 5 years during the life of the project, but they're not coming back 10 years from now. That's what I'm talking about. That's when you're going to start to see sustainable impact and a change in relationships and a change in the community. It can't happen so quickly. So I guess I'm wondering if you agree with that statement, and is that a part of changing this whole your notion, this culture of giving?
That's a big question. So I'll try to be succinct, and you can ask more on it if you want. I think that people don't understand. There's not a literacy of charity. Mm-hmm. There's not a literacy of giving as to charities in particular. As a result, people jump to the kind of really easy things to focus on, and that, and management and administration expense in a charity is an easy thing to focus on because conceptually, everyone just wants as much of their money as possible to go to, you know, their cause of choice. So I gave $100 to the ducks. I want $100 to save the ducks.
Yeah.
And because of a lack of charitable literacy, they don't sort of, understand. And I think it's more realistically, they don't stop to think about the reality that it takes some money to save the ducks.
Right.
So
but you know what? What I find, John, is so many of these folks are in fields where it takes money to do what they do.
Yeah.
And I don't get it. And this is where I think there's a serious disconnect right now in the whole sector between, you know, charitable law even. They got to catch up to the whole idea of what it means to be a nonprofit versus for-profit, you know? Yeah. What about the triple bottom line? People, planet, prosperity. How come you're, you know, anyway, it makes me crazy
a
little bit.
I think it's, without going into all the different, I think literally it's that people are not literate enough, they're not fluent enough on the discussion to, and then as a result, they focus on whatever is easiest to focus on. The other thing is that through the cynical lens is that they focus on the type of stuff that excuses them out of giving.
I'm so glad you said it because
I give more to charity, but you know,
they're just all losers.
Yeah. And
that's
go back to some of the stuff we talked about earlier, which was, the fundraising paradigm.
So the
less you, as a donor, give to charity organically without anyone asking you, the more it costs the charity to raise money off of you. So people who are not giving to charities but are waiting to be asked before they give are a part of the problem of high administration and fundraising expense.
Interesting.
There's no question about it.
So people, I love it. Hang on. Hang on. I think that's the soundbite, John. People who don't give are the ones to blame.
Well, I would say those are your words.
John Brunley, CEO, Chimp.
Well,
yeah.
So no, my words would be just a slightly softer. They're part of the problem.
Of course.
They're
not the
problem,
sure.
But they're part of the problem. Okay, but also charities, you know, don't learn quick enough to stop raising money off people who don't trying to raise money on people who don't give to them.
Who don't give to them. Ah, wow, that's
great.
So
there's all sorts of things that factor in, and it's not as easy, you know, as we'd like it to be.
But
it's real.
It
people who complain about fundraising expense, you know, but still give every now and again to charity are guilty of increased costs because they require the construct of fundraising in order to give, and that construct of fundraising requires marketing and communication and web and this and that and that. And it's not free.
I love, you know, we should probably wrap it up here shortly, but as always, I don't know that I'm at about 110 interviews now for Face to Face, and I don't think I've ever said, would you please join me again for part two? So I am asking you for that. But this idea of literacy of charity and an idea of around being a literate giver and a literate donor, I think, is a really interesting notion, but I think it's a really important way forward, actually.
Well, I'd love to come back. So why don't we have another conversation? And I'm happy to dig into any of the topics we've talked about.
Yeah, well, no, we can definitely go deeper. So we've been joined today by John Bromley. He is the founder and CEO of Chimp. Check them out online, chimp.net. Yes, chimp.net. It is a way more than a fundraising tool. And check out what John has to say, and there's some pretty interesting links there for you. So again, John, thanks for joining us today, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again soon.
You're welcome, and thanks for doing this kind of stuff to facilitate dialogue on the topic.
Thank you.